Living His Life Abundantly International presents Women of Grace Live with Johnette Bankovic and Father Edmund Sylvia. We invite you to join in today's discussion by calling with your questions and comments. Our toll-free studio number is 877-998-7884. That's 877-99-TRUTH. Now here's Johnette with issues important to your life and faith.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Bankovic, so very happy to be with you today, as we are Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station, discussing issues of importance to your life and to your faith. That's what we are about here on Women of Grace Live, and we certainly do hope that you let family and friends know about our broadcast and invite them to join us here. In addition to being with you at this 11 o'clock hour right here on radio for the first half hour, we're also available on EWTN television with our Women of Grace television program. This week we are talking about what is good fantasy and what is not so good fantasy. Our guests are Michael O'Brien and Sue Brinkman, and we're really talking about the occult in fiction. And I'll tell you, it was an interesting week to record, and I watched the first segment yesterday and was very, very happy with the amount of information that came out in that half hour. So I want to encourage you to watch the program this week. I think it'll be of great value to you. If you're listening to us on radio right now, I'm not asking you to go and turn on the TV. Stay with us on radio. You can catch the program when it repeats this evening at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And as you know, so many people are DVRing things these days. You can also do that. But this is probably one of those broadcasts that you're going to want to have so that you can share it with others. So I would recommend that if it is a topic of importance to you, so many of you calling in and talking with us about the kinds of literature that you're finding in your children's schools, even in your Catholic schools, this would be a great series of five shows to be able to share with those who are making those decisions. And I think it will be very, very helpful. So we certainly do invite you to go out there and take a look at that. We also always invite you to go to our website, www.womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things for you there. And I want to remind you that, you know, here we are, and we're in the spring of the year, and this is often a very big time for different kinds of programs to be starting in parishes. If you are looking for an engaging way in which you can enter into a sacred sisterhood with other women, a way in which you can learn about the truths of the faith, and in addition to that, learn about who you are as a woman and who you are as a daughter of the Most High God, then I encourage you to get involved in a Women of Grace study group. Our foundational study series is available to you. If you don't have one in your area, my goodness sakes, we would love to help you become a facilitator. It's not a very big deal to do so, and you will be enriched, you will be encouraged, you will be enlivened. What other EN words can I think of right now? You will be rejoicing in the Lord, not an EN word, but a good one. You'll be rejoicing in the Lord as you discover who you are in the eyes of God. And we sure do encourage you to get in touch with us, because we can help you to facilitate, and I know it'll be a marvelous, marvelous experience for you. 1-877-99-TRUTH. That's 1-877-998-7884 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, and we sure do invite you to give us a call. Well, you know, here we are. Do you believe that this is the last week of Lent prior to Holy Week? It's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, really and truly, as you know, Lent officially closes out when we begin the Triduum, which begins with Holy Thursday of next week. So we're really into the last days of Lent, and I do want to encourage you that, you know, if your Lent hasn't gone the way that you've wanted it to go, there's no reason to despair. Just make these last days the very best days. And I would encourage you to take a look at the way in which you've been spending this Lent and see where you need to ratchet it up a bit. I know I'm doing that with myself right now. And I think that our Lord will provide you not only with the inspiration and the illumination that you need, but He'll also inspire you with the grace that you need so that you might be able to make these last days really efficacious for your spiritual life and for the benefit of your soul. And I often share with you from Divine Intimacy a beautiful book of meditations written by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. These indeed have been just very meaningful to me in my life. I can't really share with you enough about how these particular meditations have been, food for my soul. That's what I would want to say. They've really been food for my soul, spiritual direction in so many ways, and helping me to enter more deeply into that life of faith and into that relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and all the while challenging me to go more deeply than I thought I could go. And so I wanted to share with you a little bit about the reading from the past 2 days. Yesterday's reading was called The Value of Suffering. For those of you that have this book, it's number 127. If you don't have the book, we've got it available for you both on our website and by calling us at the ministry. And today's reading is 128. That's the meditation, and it's on patience. And all of this has to do with those vicissitudes of life that we are certain to face, and helping for us to look at them through the eyes of faith. Now, I talk about this so much here on Women of Grace, because the great reality is every life has a cross in it. And most likely, it's not just one cross. Our Lord is constantly inviting us to enter more deeply into the Paschal mystery, which is the passion and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the great reality is our baptism baptizes us into this Paschal mystery. And so understanding it as it's presented to us in the ordinary and not so ordinary experiences of our life is very, very important for our spiritual growth, for our well-being, for our capacity to mine the treasury of grace that's offered to us in every cross, and the way in which we can look upon these tribulations and trials and sufferings through the eyes of faith with a supernatural outlook that helps us to perceive the great spiritual gift that's truly being offered to us in the cross. And, you know, as I was reading these two today, because I was traveling yesterday and I wasn't able to get my time in with divine intimacy, so I was catching up a bit this morning in my prayer time, I was called once again to look at those sufferings of my own heart. And, you know, these sufferings come in two ways. You know, they come to us through the exterior means, that which affects our daily lives through pain, through trial, through loss. And then there's also those sufferings that come to us in the heart, those sufferings that come to us through, you know, the wounds of the heart, but also come to us, you know, through our own culpability with regard to sin, the remorse that we feel for those ways in which we have acted in grievous fashion against the mercy and the love of God. And, you know, I was meditating upon all of that today as I sat here reading these beautiful words that are given to us in Divine Intimacy by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. And in the meditation, The Value of Suffering, which is number 127, he says this, and I really want you to think about these words in relationship to yourself. Certainly, I have no knowledge of what you're going through right now. My guess is that many of you are going through a very serious time. And Lent, in its own particular fashion, really calls us into the cross. And I think that God sometimes reserves sufferings for this time of the year that we might experience more fully the value of our redemption and the value of our life in faith and the gift of salvation that was won for us by the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ as he hung upon that tree. Listen to the sentence. It just spoke volumes to me this morning. Even the greatest calamity, private or public, can become a precious and most effective means of elevating the soul. Even the greatest calamity, private, and I took that personally to mean those strugglings of the heart that we go through, or public, those more exterior kinds of suffering, can become a precious and most effective means of elevating the soul, rising us up, taking us out of the mundanality of life, separating us from the ego, if you will, and placing us more nearly in divine union with the Trinitarian God, you know? He goes on and says, every kind of suffering can then be made conformable to the highest ideals of the Christian. Every kind of suffering can then be made conformable to the highest ideals of the Christian. And what are those highest ideals? He defines them for us. Eternal salvation, sanctity, the glory of God, the good of souls. And then he gives us the means by which this can take place. He says, but this congruity is impossible without love. Or rather, it will be possible only in proportion to our love. For it was by love alone that Jesus transformed the cross, a terrible instrument of torture, into a most efficacious instrument for the glory of God and the salvation of mankind. He writes, it is the same for us. Charity, the love of God and of souls, will enable us to accept any kind of suffering, harmonizing it with our loftiest aspirations. In this way, suffering finds a place, a very important place, in our life without destroying our peace and serenity. I thought those were wonderful words, and it really led me to consider, how much do I truly love? Now, when we look at the word love, we ought never to look at that word outside of its most profound of all meanings, the very definition of who God is. Because as St. John tells us in his epistle, God is love. So, when we see that word love, we need to ask ourselves, how much are we really full of God? To what extent do we permit God to reside within us? And to that proportion, to that degree, are we capable of giving all of ourselves over to Him, which is an act of total self-donation, which, as John Paul II tells us, is what this love is. God is an act of total self-donation. To what extent are we God-like? That's the question I was pondering this morning. And it seems as though, to the extent that we are able to permit this God of ours to take up residence within us, to that extent, are we able to take these sufferings of life, both interior and exterior, both public and private, to that extent, are we able, then, to supernaturalize them through that act of self-donation, that they might be efficacious for our union with God and the way in which we interact with others by being His presence in the world? And so these sufferings, rather than being a bane, rather than being a trial, rather than being a tragedy, rather than being a suffering, rather than being a tribulation and a travail, become for us gift. Gift that unites us to the very salvific action of God and takes us to the tree with our Lord Jesus Christ, by means of which we experience the profound act of salvation more fully, more truly. And to that extent, do we become conformed to that very same suffering, making us a conduit of that grace in the world. Now, in the second reading that I read, which is today's reading, 128, he gives us a key element by which this is done in our lives. And he talks about patience. And he says that patience is the virtue which makes us accept, for love of God, generously and peacefully, everything that is displeasing to our nature, without allowing ourselves to be depressed by the sadness which easily comes over us when we meet with disagreeable things. Later he tells us that, you know, this patience doesn't mitigate the disagreeableness. It doesn't make it any less of what it is. But it makes our capacity to embrace it that much greater. And in embracing it, we find there a joy and a peace that enables us to seek for the greater good that is somehow hidden within that cross. Always, always leading us to deeper love, to deeper union with God, and to a deeper response to those souls around us. Now, if you ask me, I think that's a very good deal. I think that that's a deal that we ought to consider signing up for. I think that that's a deal that we should rejoice in and praise God for. And it doesn't mean that, you know, that pain isn't deep. In some ways, I think that the more that we're purified in the love of God, the pain registers more deeply. You know, our Blessed Lady suffering, those swords that she experienced, for example, penetrated in a way in which our sufferings could never penetrate because, you know, we're corrupted by sin. But as we conform ourselves more to God, allowing that pain to register more deeply, there is a joy that's experienced there in knowing that a great good is being accomplished in us and a great good is being accomplished through us. You know, these days of Lent call us to meditate upon the sufferings of Christ. By virtue of our baptism, we're called to share in those sufferings. How well are we doing it? Let's meditate on that today. Let's ask our Lord to reveal to us the way in which we can enter more deeply into the cross that He's entrusted to us. Not trying to circumvent it, but embracing it for the period of time that He permits us to experience it. Whether it's a physical suffering that endures for that period of time before the methods of healing and the remedy takes effect, whether it's an interior suffering of the heart that is known to only us alone, let us ask God to help us mine it so that a great good flows in us and through us because of it. Then we can say and cry out, "How sweet is this cross of our Lord! What joy it brings me! What happiness it provides!" I think the great saints knew that, especially those who were martyrs. But all of those to whom a heavy cross was entrusted, and find me the saint that didn't have a heavy cross, and that'll become my next favorite saint. It isn't, are we going to receive the cross? The question is, what am I going to do when I get it? That's the question and its answer that makes all the difference in our lives, my friends. And so today, let's see what God is about for us. Okay? Let's make these last days of Lent the very best days by utilizing every good gift God is offering to us so that it might be so. Well,